So, did anybody see the new cards for the sermon topics for the month of January? How many of you saw those? Anybody note what the sermon message is for tonight? Fast food? I'm going to make you uncomfortable right now. It's fast food as opposed to fast food. When I saw the title, I thought Vaughn was going to do a message, not knowing I was going to be preaching tonight, on our society and how we are living in a fast food society. Everything is done quickly. Everything is I have to have it now. And if you listen to the commercials, I have to have it my way. Anybody heard that commercial before? Well, that's a kind of a selfish way, but tonight's message is on fasting food. How many of you get uncomfortable when you hear a preacher say that? Come on, you can be honest here. Yeah, go ahead. I'm raising my hand. But if you notice on the slide up here, fasting can change your life. Jesus said, when you fast, do you think that there's an advantage that we can have in this earth if we fast? Okay, this preacher needs a response. Yes. I'm a teacher. Yep. Thank you. Fasting is a discipline. Fasting is not a law. And so tonight, I want you to focus on the fact that this will bring you closer to God, but it's not commanded of you. This is a note of a point of reference. The host team will be passing out a sheet with all of my scriptures on it and all of my notes for tonight's message. Tonight will be more of a preaching. I rather a teaching. I'm not normally in this mode when I stand in the pulpit, but I do that at Kingston City Schools. I'm a technology teacher, have been for 31 years now. At J. Watson Bailey School, I teach technology. But tonight, I'm going to be in a teaching mode, and I'll be teaching from these notes to which you'll receive after the service. I would give them out to you now, but everybody would be looking at them and not listening to the message. John Wesley said, some have exalted religious fasting beyond all scripture and reason, and others have utterly disregarded it. There's a, it seems that there are some churches that hold fasting in a much higher esteem than it really needs to be, and then there's other places that have disregarded it totally. We as a church have looked into the scriptures, and the court team and Pastor Vaughn has seen in scripture the importance of fasting, the importance that fasting should place or should have in this place. Have any of you fasted? Okay. It's about half of you. How many of you, I did ask this question already, but how many of you really, it truly makes you uncomfortable thinking about going without food? Well, the reason why it does is that we eat for pleasure, basically. I mean, think about that as a concept. We as a society, I mean, even in Jesus' time, they ate because, you know, their bodies needed sustenance, whereas we stock our refrigerators with delicacies. Or at least Jesus would have thought that they were delicacies. And I'm going to tell you right now that the easiest fast I've done is when I've been able to separate myself away and actually literally go away from my refrigerator. Can you understand the reasons why?
Yeah.
Because fasting isn't an easy thing. I just like to let you know that it will make your body uncomfortable. But there's a purpose for that, and I'll explain that later. There's a definition. There's a Hebrew word which is translated fast to fast, and it literally means to cover the mouth. Sometimes you just have to cover that baby up. Now, that is for other purposes besides things going in. And I think that in Isaiah 58, when you see that scripture, you'll see that not only is fasting a part of what goes in, but also what comes out of your mouth. Fasting is a spiritual discipline, as I said. It's not a punishment. Don't think of it as a punishment, but a spiritual discipline which will help you be blessed by God. I have a definition here that it's a spiritual discipline and it's not under law. It's not commanded. Jesus said, when I fast. Moreover, when you fast, do not be. It says, do not be like the hypocrites. But he did say, when you fast. Doesn't mean thou shalt fast. It means when you fast. There are many different types of fasts. I'm going to get this portion out of the way. There are different types of fasts. There's a normal fast, and that would involve no food, just water. I've been on a number of 3- and 4-day normal fasts where I drank nothing but water. That's the type of fast I believe that Jesus went on. Because Jesus, in Matthew 4:2, said, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. If he was doing an absolute fast, which would be no food and no water, he would also be extremely thirsty. In Daniel 10, there is what is known as a partial fast. Daniel ate no delicacies, Daniel 10:3. It said, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all. There is a time, I'm going to just say, that you can fast those things which are delicacies or food for pleasure. I know many people that have gone on fasts that included just some basics. Daniel actually only ate vegetables in this fast. I have known others that have gone on a fast where they drank liquids like broth and other juices and other sustaining liquids, but ate no solid food. I know others that have fasted things like chocolate. I remember how Diane was when she fasted chocolate once. Yeah, what's that? She did that fast for 21 days. Oh, it was crazy at our house. The reason why I even mention that is there's many things in our lives that we can fast that'll serve the same purpose. The point is that we're fasting, okay, not as a law, but an opportunity for a blessing. How many of you want to be blessed? This is an opportunity to be blessed by God. The types of fasts are normal, which is no food and just water. Partial fast, which is no delicacies, and no eating for pleasure, and then an absolute fast. Now, let me just say about an absolute fast, don't even think about it unless God has supremely called you to that, because after 2 days, your body will be doing some strange things. I mean, don't just try an absolute fast, because you'll be trying Benedictine. unless, of course, God did call you, because Moses... Moses, it was Deuteronomy 9:9 that says that Moses fasted an absolute fast. He took no food or no water. That would have to be a supernatural fast because after 3 days you'll go into hallucinations if you have no water. There are fastings also that were proclaimed in Scripture. In Jonah 3, verse 5, it says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed the fast, and put on sackcloth." There was a proclaimed fast for the nation. Now, just think about this as a concept, and wouldn't it be great if our president-elect on his inauguration day called for a corporate national fast for our nation? I would think that that would be a real cool blessing. Because this nation needs to humble ourselves and pray. But what does God promise if we do as a nation humble ourselves and pray? He'll heal our land. How many of you believe that our nation needs healing? Well, I do. Fasting is another way. I do believe that as times get tougher, you're going to hear calls for prayer and fasting for our nation. And I do believe God honors that. There was proclaimed fasts for the work of the church. In Acts 13, verses 2 and 3, it talks of while they were worshiping, as they ministered to the Lord, as they worshiped God and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas." That's when they chose Judas's replacement. Is there anyone here that doubts the need to hear God's voice clearly in this place? I believe that everybody feels that we have a role in the Hudson Valley, because there will be revival that will come out of our humbleness toward God. Do you believe it? That's a tough thing, but guess what? When we do it according to the way God wants us to do it, it'll be easy for us. It'll be natural. It'll be like breathing. It won't be work for us. For I truly believe that the Hudson Valley is in dire need of a revival of sorts that we've never seen. And I'm looking forward to it. We have a role. We have a place in this valley in that revival. And I do believe that as we proclaim a fast in this place, that we will start to hear God's voice for the valley. And when we start stepping out in obedience to Him, we're going to see mighty things happen. And then another form of fast is a personal fast. It's a form of worship, and it may be out of necessity. I'll just explain that in just a moment. But I have a question for you. Why fast? Why should we fast? I'm going to play role of teacher now and ask, does anybody have an idea of why we should fast? What would be the primary reason? It denies our flesh.
Discipline.
A discipline. Denies our flesh, a discipline.
Cleansing.
A cleansing.
Draws us closer to God.
Hang on to that one. That is the primary reason, is to draw closer to God. Because you're going to find out that you can't strong arm God. You can't strong arm God. In other words, your fasting is not going to move God. It's not like you're having problems paying the bills. So you figure that prayer and fasting would be good for that. So you go on a 10-day fast, and you figure that it's going to move God. And at the end of the 10 days, you're going to go, "Lord, where's the check?" You see, because fasting isn't going to impress God. Your fasting won't impress God. But what it'll do is, it'll get you closer to Him so that you can hear His voice. So that you'll find out from Him the reason why you can't pay your bills. Did you follow the difference here? You have to have a main focus, and the main focus is fasting is not to move God, fasting is to move you. We are spirit, soul, and body. And you got to get your soul and body out of the way so that you can hear what the Spirit is saying to you. We have three parts. We have spirit, which was born again when you accepted Christ. And it became alive. And it's the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, your mind, your will, and emotions always go according to the will of God. Is that true? Shout me down on this one, please. Your soul does not go along or according to the will of God. The Spirit of God in you is saying, and your soul is saying something different. You also have to get your body in line with the will of God. And so fasting is a discipline that moves you to a place where you can hear him clearer, where you can be closer to him, and you can do it as a worship unto him. The primary purpose of a fast is to draw nigh unto God. If you were to look in Zechariah 7:5, it says, "Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me?" And then it's repeated, "for me." Question is, are you fasting to impress somebody else? Are you fasting to appease somebody? Or are you fasting unto the Lord? That is the question. Your fasting should be one that will get you closer to the Lord. Because not only are you preventing food from going in, but you're also going to be setting aside time in my life to be in prayer, to be in the Word, and to hear his voice. And I'll promise you this, that you will start to hear the voice clearer and clearer when you put your position, your place in position of receiving. And that's what fasting does. It puts you in a place of receiving the signal from God. I have a cell phone here. And there's some places when I drive down in past Glenary on 9W going north that I lose cell. I'm not in the position to receive a signal on my cell phone. But yet, I'll drive around the corner and up to the top of Glenary Lane where I live, and all of a sudden it goes from no cell to the maximum amount of bars. It's all within a 1 mile separation. I'm going to tell you right now that fasting will put you in a position to hear God's voice real clearly. Do you want that? Yes. Reason why I had to make an affirmation is because this is something that you're going to need to just say, I want that, and do it, because it's not something that is going to be easy, but something that you will find on the other side go, I'm sure glad I did. Have you ever had experiences like that in your life? Where you kind of forced yourself to do something and you found out on the other side that you were really blessed. I find that with life groups, our home groups. I find that on the nights that I really, really struggle with going to that group because I'm either tired or I'm just so frazzled by the day's work that I just want to sit down. I mean, do you think I ever get frazzled? I have 120 seventh and eighth graders. Sometimes going to a home group just is like difficult. But guess what? I go, receive a blessing from God, and then when I'm driving home, I'm going, I'm sure glad I put the effort into doing that. How many times, Joan, at the home meeting in Sargades, did we walk away just being impressed and just totally awestruck on what God did in our midst? Miracles. And I'm going to tell you, fasting is the exact same way. Fasting will get you in a place where you're going to start hearing from God. And he will spiritually empower you to have the courage and the fortitude to step forward by faith to see his presence in your midst. That's where I want to be, in the presence of God. John Wesley also said, you think I was an ordained Methodist minister, I'm quoting Wesley all night. Let fasting be done unto the Lord with your eyes singly fixed on him. Let the intention of this be this alone, to glorify God in heaven. There are secondary purposes to our fasting. Fasting will reveal what controls us. If it's pride, you'll be fasting and you'll get into 3 days of fasting and you'll be so proud that you got that far. If anger is controlling you, what do you think is going to happen after 3 days? You'll be angry that you're on that fast. Pride is the number one enemy to a fast. That is the secondary purpose of a fast, is to be able to find out what controls you so that you can get it out of the way. God will be speaking to you, and again, it'll be things that'll be uncomfortable to you. One secondary purpose that some people go on fast for is to lose weight. Lose that idea, okay? Because don't go on a fast to lose weight, go on a diet. I have a hard time getting past that motivation, though, because in the back of my mind is, well, good, I'll lose a couple pounds in the process. You got to try to lose that as a motivation, because the doctors will tell you that that's not a great way of losing weight anyway, because what it'll do is it'll shut your metabolism down. It'll slow your metabolism down. It doesn't shut it down. It slows your metabolism down. And so on the other side of the fast, you got to be careful because your metabolism is a bit slower. But dieting is not a secondary purpose of fasting. It should not be one of your motivations. Fasting will reveal whether or not you're experiencing liberty. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, everything, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I'm not going to be brought under the power of a donut or, you know, brownie. And I'm going to take that under control. But that goes for other things in your life too. I'm not going to be mastered by anything, including what would go in my mouth. Fasting will increase your effectiveness in intercessory prayer. It's amazing how keen and how effective your prayer is. And your prayer life even becomes sharper and, I would say, just more to the point. You may be distracted by the fact that your stomach is growling. By the way, it stops after 2 or 3 days. The growling in your stomach, that is. We can fast for a secondary reason of guidance and decision. Revelation given by God. Thus saith the Lord. You will be hearing, especially as we go into a fast corporately, because our pastor, Pastor Vaughn, will be calling for a fast next Saturday and Sunday. And we'll be fasting for 3 weeks. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody will be going on a normal fast for 3 weeks. That'll be led by God for each and every one of you individually on how and what form the fast should and could take. Remember, it's not a law. It's a discipline, and you can avow yourself so that God can bless you. The early church fasted before they actually appointed elders. In Acts 13:2, we already looked at this We see that they appointed Barnabas because the Lord said, as they were worshiping God and they praised him and were seeking God, they appointed Barnabas. Another secondary purpose is increased concentration and alertness. Have ears to hear and eyes to see. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, 13 verse, it tells us to gird our minds for action. What does that mean? To gird your mind for action. That's the King James. When you read through the armor of God, the armor, the belt, is also called to gird your waist with truth. And what they had to do in the times of Jesus with their long robes that they wore, they would have to tie up these long robes in order to be able to run or move quickly. And if they were going into battle or if they were going into a fight of some kind, they would have to gird up their clothing so it wouldn't get entangled in their legs as they walked and ran. And in the same way, we need to do the same thing with our mind. We need to kind of tighten things up so that we're not so distracted by other things. And fasting will help you in the effectiveness of that. It says, gird up your minds for action. Be self-controlled. That's what 1 Peter 1:13 says. We also may experience a greater sense of spiritual power, especially in the areas of tearing down strongholds. Now, can somebody tell me what scripture tearing down strongholds is? Somebody quote me a scripture about tearing down strongholds. Well, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are strongholds found? In your mind. We're not tearing down strongholds out of the sky. We're not taking demons down. What we're doing is taking down strongholds in our mind. Is there any one of us here that doesn't say or can say that they don't have a single stronghold that prevents them from moving in the path which God wants them to move? I do know that I have these strongholds. Give me an example of a stronghold. Anybody? Pride is a stronghold. Fear is a stronghold. Guilt is a stronghold. I'm sorry? Envy, jealousy. These are strongholds. A secondary purpose of fasting is to pull these strongholds down. They are in our mind, and we do need to just tear them down. We need to break them down. And fasting will help you get to that point. It may not be comfortable, though, because the Lord will be dealing with that stronghold as you're fasting. We have to touch God in prayer. Any of you raising teenagers? Any of you teenagers? I do know that when I was raising my two sons, prayer was helpful, but it wasn't until I started fasting that I heard clearly what God wanted me to do for both my sons. You see, both my sons got in tremendous amount of trouble. Both my sons were arrested. And it really was a struggle for me in my life because the first thing that a parent does when a child does something like that to such an extreme is guilt. Guilt starts to just play its ugly hand in your life. And I had to deal with that and pride. How can the teacher's, preacher's sons get in such trouble? My fasting didn't move the hand of God in my son's life. My fasting moved me so that I would understand what God wanted me to do and the role I had as priest of my family to take authority over that situation so that today my one son is a police officer and a Marine reservist and the other son is a doctoral student of clinical psychology. And I do thank God for that. But it was in fasting that I heard and Diane heard the voice of God as to the direction that we needed to take. Not that God was going to be moving in a special way, but that he wanted us to move in a different direction. How many of you are stubborn in what you do, and it takes a little bit extra to change? Change is not easy. I've been doing it for 25 years. Well, you've been doing it for wrong for 25 years. And there was a number of things that I had to deal with in my own life before I would see my authority as priesthood in my family become what God wanted it to be. I have a question. When should you fast? Is there anybody here that would like to attempt that answer? Well, you're going to fast, first of all.
Quickly.
What's that?
Quickly.
Quickly? Yeah. You're going to fast by obedience. Now, in order to be able to fast by obedience, you need to hear what the word of the Lord is. And so my suggestion as a first practical suggestion is to pray. In this week prior to Vaughn calling a corporate fast next Saturday and Sunday, you should be in preparation for prayer and prayer and be seeking God as to the form to which your fasting will take. There are many different forms of fasting, like I said before. And so what I would like you to do is to just go before the Lord this week. Be reading the scriptures that are on the sheet that will be handed to you when you leave tonight. And be reading those scriptures and asking God, what form shall my fasting take? You should pray by, fast by necessity. In other words, if there's something in your life that's controlling you, you need to be fasting. I've recommended that to a number of people. That in order to be able to find out clearly what God has for your life, go on a fast. Fasting should be done as a discipline. You can fast on a regular basis as a spiritual discipline to keep yourself sharp. It's a choice. And you don't have to fast necessarily even food. I remember once going on a fast from caffeine. I did without my coffee for a week. Now, much like it was a crazy household when Diane fasted chocolate, that was a crazy household when I fasted caffeine. Because I have how many of you really enjoy your cup of coffee in the morning? You see? Yeah. And I set aside time. I said, this week I'm going to fast my coffee. And I'm going to set a time each night to be praying and hearing what God would have me to do. You should fast when a proclaimed fast is called for. The church is not a democracy, but a what? A theocracy. What is a theocracy? God is in control. What is a democracy? Everybody has a say in the matter. Which church do you think God would prefer us to be? A theocracy, where God has control of what we do. But I've heard Vaughn preach that God is in charge, but we, in many ways, are in control until we give that control back over to him. God is in charge, and he's saying, My people, I would love you to be doing this. But we're not in a position to hear what his voice is saying corporately. We may miss what he's saying, and we may miss the best that we have for this place. And I don't want to see that happen. So when the proclaimed fast is called for, we as a congregation can together be fasting so that God's voice will become clear in our midst. John Wimber, I'm not 100% sure if this is John Wimber's quote, but he said, a camel is a horse designed by committee. A camel is a horse designed by committee. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been on any church boards, and there's a lot of different thought coming from a bunch of different directions. What you design is like what a camel looks like. There's bumps and humps in places that you wouldn't figure that there should be. We as a church choose the core leadership and the pastor of this church would prefer that we collectively went to God and said, we are seeking your voice, so that when his voice comes clearly into our midst, everybody goes, that's God. Have you ever experienced that, where a group of people were in a room and you were praying that God would give you wisdom, and then all of a sudden there was like this understanding of how to solve a problem, and everybody goes, wow, thank you, Lord. That's what we choose to see here at the Vineyard, because we want to be in a place to facilitate, to be the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we are the body, which means that we're the arms and legs and mouthpiece for Christ in this valley. Are we going to take up our responsibility? First, we have to hear clearly from what he says. Fasting will help us get to that place. How long should your fast be? Well, again, it's by obedience. But I'll just say that if you go on a normal fast, or a fast with just liquids, I would have to say that after 2 or 3 days, something drastically changes. For most people, it takes 2 or 3 days for the flesh to go down with the ship. That's at the point to which you start really fighting, or you stop fighting the fast, and then you can actually hear clearly from God. Here's a suggestion. I went on a fast where it was an extended fast, but during the week when I was working, I would eat only essentials. I would have yogurt, bread, and I think I had a list of 2 or 3 things. And then on the weekends, I would fast, a normal fast, and not have any food. And I would set the time aside on the weekends for prayer and reading of the Word of God. After 2 or 3 days, there's a strengthening. And I've been on 2 fasts that were beyond 3 days, and I'll tell you that the hunger pains actually subside a bit. They don't ever go away. When Jesus fasted for the 40 days, Satan tempted him at the end of that fast. And what was the first thing he tempted him with? Oh, that he would actually, if you worship me, I'll turn that stone into bread. If you're going to go on even a regular normal fast, you have to kind of put stuff away in cabinets so it's not visually in front of you. Prepare yourself for being tempted to eat. But don't get guilty if you slip up, okay? Just go on and continue the fast. Here's some practical tips. Remember, the main purpose is to draw closer to God. Number 2, pray first to get God's guidance and to cast off fear. If there's anybody here that has fear about fasting, look at it as more of a challenge. Go to God and say, listen, Lord, you know the fears that I have. Help me pass those fears that I might take this step of faith in order to accomplish what you want me to do. Because this is an important discipline, because if you have difficulties just agreeing in with yourself in your mind to be able to fast, when he calls you to go share the gospel to somebody in the mall, you might not have that same step of faith or courage to accomplish it. But if you've battled through this in fasting, everything else in the spiritual realm just seems to become easier. Your steps of faith just seem to be easier. I found that after I fasted, my boldness was increased. My remembrance of the word was increased. That the Lord says that he will bring to your remembrance, that the word will not return void, but it'll accomplish everything it's set out to do, and he'll bring it to your remembrance, and you'll start stepping out in faith on scriptural things, whereas maybe you wouldn't have prior to that fast. Begin slowly if it's your first fast. Another one is deal with your caffeine addiction beforehand. How many of you get headaches if you don't have a cup of coffee for 2 days? Okay, so maybe you should prepare your body prior to going on a fast by dealing with the caffeine first and then going on a normal fast. Do you follow what I'm saying? Be prepared for some dizziness and headaches. How many of you have fasted and have had headaches or dizziness? Well, it's a normal thing. Your body is resisting it. But don't worry. You're not going to die. Enter with the right attitude and the right motives, remembering it's not a diet, but enter in to come closer to God. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then most of these things, all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God. This month of January is going to be a time of preparation for us as a church. For I do trust and do believe that we're going to expand and grow. Not so that we can pridefully say that we've grown from one number to the next, but so that we could say that the army of God is increased here in this place, and we have accomplished mighty things so that he would receive glory. How many of you want to see Jesus Christ glorified in this town in a way like he's never been before? I do. And when we enter in with the right motives and the right attitude, God will place us in position to accomplish that. Expect supernatural results in your life, at the Vineyard and in our city. Matthew 6:18 says, you should fast so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There's a reward here involved. These are the words of Jesus. He will reward you if you discipline yourself in this way. How many of you like rewards? You know, you get the rewards cards at Staples. I mean, you get excited. Wow, I got an extra $6 back. What kind of rewards do you think that our Heavenly Father is waiting to give us? I don't know. What would a reward be? Freedom from those things which control you? Wouldn't that be a real cool reward if the fear that controlled you is now no longer there because you fasted according to obedience to him? Wouldn't it be a great thing if you had this problem with looking at images on a computer and you were relieved of that compulsion to look at images that the Lord says are not right for you to look at? And the next thing you know, you're free from that? If you constantly have an unrest in your heart and you're never at peace. I know a lot of people like that. That are just constantly just never at peace. I've known people coming out of fast that are just became totally at peace with God and just trusted him completely. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. How? Wow. Now that shouldn't be a motivation. In a sense that we should be fasting so that we can be rewarded. But do know that your Heavenly Father loves you and will reward those who diligently seek him. That's in Hebrews. Expect supernatural results in your life at the Vineyard here and in our city. How many of you would like to be real expectant? I think I asked this before, and I said it in a different way. How many of you like to be expecting? Well, there's some of you here that might. But I would dare say that we as a church should be expecting to birth something here. How many of you here would like to see a revival in this town, and that through what God does through us, we see a birth of that revival in Kingston? I would love to see that. Remember that you should be going into the Word of God. The Word of God is your manufacturer's handbook. It is the instruction book for life. And he will guide you, and he will help you through with wisdom that only comes from receiving the sustenance from the Word. The Word becomes alive when you're fasting. And finally, fasting will not be easy, and chocolate still may call your name, but reaping his love, his grace, and his healing and his guidance will be well worth the effort. You have nothing to lose, and you may experience something that you haven't before. I would encourage everybody as we prepare to go into a corporate fast, and Pastor Vaughn will be giving part two of this message next Saturday and Sunday, and he will complete this message, and he will be calling for a corporate fast. I would encourage everyone to in some way seek God and find out what he would have for you in this area. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would just start to instruct us even tonight as to the function and the direction that we're to take as far as this discipline is concerned. Help us, Lord, to get past our fears and to just jump headfirst into this discipline that we might see your glory in a greater way like we've never seen before. We as a people, Lord, humble ourselves and pray, and we believe that you will heal us and that you will accomplish mighty things through us, that you would receive the glory and honor in everything we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen.